act like I have a little bit of home training in this service. I didn't at 9 o'clock. Amen. We give honor to your pastor on this morning and to his lovely wife on this morning. All of the Lord's people that are here on today. I did not do this in the first service. I do give public thanks and appreciation to the members of Yielded Transformation who traveled with me on this weekend. I'm still looking for a couple of them that are in the city. They'll be here after a while. Are the Webs here? Amen. Amen. Just wanted to make sure they made it okay. But I do give honor to them, to Tiara and Rikiria and my little big girl. She told me she's not a baby anymore. Yeah. Taylor. And if opportunity presents itself, I'll give you a little testimony about Miss Taylor. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles or on your devices to Psalm 23. I was transparent in the first service. I have been delivered from depression, and I made God a vow that I would never go back into depression. And one way I stay free from depression is I laugh a lot, because I was literally healed through laughter. The Bible says that laughter does good like a medicine. Laughter was my medicine. The Lord gave me laughter back. And so because nobody else gave it to me, y'all can't tell me to stop laughing. And I tell people, if you come to worship and the person sitting beside you just doesn't seem to be joyful, all right, well, it's okay to move. It's okay to move. It's okay to move. It's okay to move. But if you're real confident in the God that's in you, you keep on laughing, it'll catch on. It'll catch on. It'll catch on. Something about the joy that's down on the inside. When you really have some joy from God on the inside, people can't stay bound. People can't stay upset and frustrated and sad too long in your company. You wonder why folk walk out of your presence all the time. It's because they feel that joy and they're not ready to let go of what they have. You're contagious. You're contagious. You're contagious. Every believer is contagious. Just rub your neighbor just lightly. Just rub them. We're going to all leave out of here delivered and smiling and revived. Because what I have, I want y'all to have. I've been in a low place. I know how it feels to have people to turn their back on you. I've been there. When nobody would even look at you because they knew you were going through and they didn't feel like they could help you. I've been there. And now that I'm out. Now that I'm out. You can't pay me to go back. I've been through some stuff, made some mistakes, made some wrong decisions, but now that I'm out. Trying to behave. But the joy of the Lord became my strength. Because there was a time I didn't have the strength to get out of bed. There was a time I didn't want to put clothes on. I didn't want anybody calling me. I didn't want to be bothered with church folk. But I had some alone time with God. And I was honest with God. Y'all sit down. If you can't be honest with God, who are you going to be honest with? See, a lot of times we try to make us look better before we come to the presence of God. But he already knows. He already knows. So I have a history in psychology and counseling. And the first step is to admit. Admitting does not diminish your faith. Admitting does not diminish your faith. The woman with the issue of blood, she admitted there was something going on. And she not only admitted it, she sought out help. It's okay to talk to people. God is the creator of all things. He put some of us in the field to be able to listen. And it's okay to share it, because most times we start talking about it in a safe place. We start finding our own answers. Yes. We start hearing how we really sound. And you start, am I really going through this like this? And so when you start talking, the enemy wants to isolate us and he wants to close our mouth. And let me just talk to the women, like the men are not here right now. They went on a bathroom break. We have this thing. I don't know about Murfreesboro, but in Memphis, we have this thing, and not Maine, but we have this thing. Women, I'm good. I'm good. Are you sure you're all right? I've been worried about you. I hadn't seen you. I'm good. You're good at what? Because the more we say we're good, the further and further back away from deliverance we are pushing ourselves. And before long, what we're feeding ourselves becomes our reality. And now you wonder why I don't have any friends, why nobody's calling me, why nobody wants to sit beside me at church, because you're good. And you good is oozing. The enemy is good at deception. And we deceive ourselves into thinking that we're good. We'll come to church and won't receive a word because I'm good. And in our mind, oh, pastor really going to talk about what I just gave them in counsel? He really going to say that? And it's the word of the Lord coming for your answer. It's not that they're telling your business. Then somebody else will come and confirm the word and say, sis, you know what? I was thinking about you. I had a dream about you. And this, and I just want to encourage you. And in her mind, just use you as an example. In her mind, she's thinking, who sent you? We miss it because we have become paranoid saints. We have become paranoid saints because our guard is always up. Talking from experience. Father has pastored my entire life. Mother has been missionary my entire life. I'm paranoid because I want to know how you know my business. And instead of me receiving the word of the Lord for deliverance, I'm paranoid. And now I'm fighting the very thing God is sending to deliver me. And we stay stuck year after year, because we're fighting God himself. How did I get here? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yea, though I walk through valley, yea, though I walk through the valley. Touch your neighbor and say, don't stop in your valley. Don't stop in your valley. There's life after the valley. There's life after. We all experience seasons in our lives. Solomon says that to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Time to be born. Let me say this. I read a lot of word. I am afforded to pastor a very, 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 very young ministry. We planted in February, and I am called, the ministry is called to reach those who don't go to church. Those who have been hurt by church. Those who have just turned their back on church because of whatever experience they have had. Those are the ones we are called to. And so when you come into our ministry, you will see people who really don't look like churches even on their mind. People who are in the midst of their transformation. People who are walking sanctification out. And so the church in Memphis, it's a no judgment zone. Because you don't know where I am in my process, so you really can't judge me. I may not look like what you look like, but I'm a work in progress. I may not have had the same experiences that you have, but I have had my own experience. And so I don't love God any less because you just happen to catch me in the middle of my transformation. And see, a lot of times, how am I here? A lot of times we want people to get saved Sunday at 12 and then Sunday at 2, everything should be changed. And depending on what type of lifestyle I'm coming from, it's going to take years for me to begin to look like. Because now, let's just start with the physical. I got to let my hair grow back because I shaved it. And now because of whatever lifestyle I've been in, I have to change my whole wardrobe, but I'm in between jobs. And because, I'm going to talk about churches in Memphis, because we're not funding people to go and buy new wardrobes when they receive Christ. We just have to hope them in the process. We have to keep them encouraged in the process. Because truthfully, when I'm coming out of sin, I'm already a little paranoid because y'all church folk. And now when I come in and I receive God's salvation through Jesus Christ, I don't feel what y'all feel right now because I'm still a baby. And see, babies you have to handle with care. You have to fend for babies. You have to fight for babies. You have to, when they say, why she got that on? Hold on. Don't mess with sis, man. She good. You got to throw that mane in, okay? But we have to get to the point where we understand it's a process. And I want to tell us that are in God, that are in Christ, that have experienced his salvation, it's a process. Don't discredit the process that you're in. It may not be the most feasible right now. It may not be the most comfortable thing. But don't discredit your process. Because your process is what's making you. The thing about it, my aunt, before she passed, she used to be the baker of the family. And anytime we wanted a special request, we would call her and say, Auntie, can you make me a pound cake? Well, she knew my favorite was chocolate. Auntie, can you make me the chocolate pound with the white icing? If anybody wants to know what I like. And I would call. And one day I happened to go over there. And she was doing little things. And because I'm curious and I don't bake, I began to ask, Auntie, why are you doing this? Auntie, why you won't open the oven to see if the cake is ready? She said, niece, you got to stop. You can't keep opening the door because when you're opening a door, you're messing with what's going on in the oven. Some of us are trying to open the door in the middle of the process. But God said, if you just leave the door alone, I got all of this. Because what happens, even in the most clean kitchen, elements get inside. And see, some of us, we won't close the door all the way, and elements are getting inside. We wonder why we can't get over Johnny, not Johnny in here, why we can't get over Johnny, because we keep opening the door. And every time I go see Johnny, I leave. And for the moment, I'm happy. But when I go home, I remember what Johnny did. I remember how bad he cheated on me. And I go home and I get back in my low place because I'm the one that I'm just looking to see whose door is open. Because in the process, when you want the best out of the process, you have to keep the door closed, because the door closed, it keeps you covered and it keeps you secluded away from the stuff that are tampered with the process. And see, air tampers with the process. Some of us got the wrong folk breathing on us. Some of us have the wrong people breathing on us. Some of us have the wrong people breathing in our ears. Some folks. It's the wrong breath. When I was growing up, they used to sing a song, "Just Let It Breathe On Me." The breath of God. Psalm 23. Hey. A time to be born, a time to die. I want you to listen to these seasons. That's where I was going, sis. Thank you. Word. That's where I was going. A time to plant and a time to pluck up which was planted. A time to kill, a time to heal. Time to break down, a time to build up. You see these opposite ends of the spectrum? A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from bracing. Let me help all of my young folk out. Every season of your life does not require a boo. There are some seasons you need to be boo-less. Male and female. See, sometimes we start to embrace things just because of some insufficiencies in ourselves. You ever been around someone who just has to be in a relationship? And they keep getting damaged in the relationships because they keep getting the same type of person over. And you're like, why? Why are all these folk the same way? They not having a meeting about you. Say, all right, you date her face, and then you date her, and then. No, it's you. There's something within me that keeps drawing me to the same type of spirit. I want you to hear it. We're spirit wrapped in flesh. Something in my spirit keeps connecting me with the wrong spirits. And then I keep going through these same cycles over and over and over. I don't know how I got here, but I'm here now. Over and over and over. And all you got to do is stop. All I had to do was stop. It's as simple as that. And close the door. A lot of times, we God, why you keep letting this happen? Because every time I close the door, you open it. A time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence. No clapping back. No social media post with implications. Time to keep silent. What God say, hush, he mean hush. Tell your fingers, hush. Tell your fingers to hush, because now we live through the age where we type what we want to say. Just hush, 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 hush. Because we can't say what we really want to say because God told me to hush, but then we go to typing. Last week, some stuff happened. Here I go confessing on Facebook Live. Last week, some stuff happened, and I was ready to post. The Lord said, I told you to hush. And I deleted it. Then somebody called, girl, did you know? How come you didn't tell me? And then I went to typing again. The Lord said, I told you to hush. to delete it. Then I get home, and my mama, who's not on Facebook, say, so-and-so called me and said something was on the book. And I go typing again. The Lord said, hush. And then he said, fast. Because Pastor Renice, it's something in you that I need to get out of you because you want to respond. You want to retaliate. Ain't God funny? Normally, you know, we're on this, hey, Renice level, and hey, daughter. He said, Pastor Renice, you need to fast. And I said, yes, Lord. Because I realized when I want to get them back, it's something in me. When I realized when I want to come in church and sit down with an attitude because they didn't sing my song today, it's not them, it's me. Oh, I know about that music department. Why we gotta sing this? Why we can't sing this? And my response is, show me where it is in the word, and I will sing it. Because we should be feeding our faith in everything. How did I get here? I need you to reel me back in, sis. If you are living and breathing, you will experience seasons in your life. You will have some good days. You will have some bad days. You will have some sunshine. You will have some rain. Every day will not be blissfully fun. In fact, there are days that will be rather cloudy. But for the believer, this should never take us by surprise. The Bible reminds us that we will have some difficult days. James said, my brethren and my sisterin, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We keep wondering why we keep going through the same thing over and over and over. Maybe God is trying to give us patience. Keep wondering why they keep cutting you off on the highway and you blowing your horn and riding up on them, go around them and slam on brakes. Patience. When you've had a long day at work and you come home and your children are calling, mommy, 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 and you fly off the handle. Patience. When the spouse is getting on your nerve because they've been at home all day and you've been gone all day and they ain't done nothing. Patience. When you come to church and it seems like we're in this meeting for 9 hours and we have not solved anything, maybe the meeting was 9 hours long because he's trying to give you patience. Still living in my one-bedroom apartment after 9 years, and I can't figure out why I can't get out every time, and then I fly off the handle, then I misuse my money, I'm not a good steward over patience. 1 Peter 4:12 says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice. Maybe God is trying to get you to rejoice. Maybe we're wandering around the same mountain complaining year after year. Maybe God just wants a little rejoicing out of us. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Seasons. Seasons come and seasons go. But it's what we do in each season that's important. It's really not a big deal that seasons change in our lives. But it's what we do while we are in these seasons that propel us to the next thing that matters in our life. Summer, autumn, winter, and spring. Our seasons. During these different times of the year, weather conditions change drastically. Summer, we recognize as a time of vegetation, when that vegetation makes its maximum growth. This is a time where growth produces maturity and supplies us with a great harvest. In the summer months, the rain and cool showers are welcome. I don't know about y'all, but it's hot in Memphis. And it seems like here lately when it rains, it cools off for about 10 minutes. And then it gets hot again. But in those 10 minutes, going out just to feel a little breeze. When you're going through the pressures of life, when the heat is turned up on the oven while you're going through the process, when a cool rain comes through. That's why it's so important to be intentional during your worship moments. It's in the cool rain of worship. Where God can just make it all make sense. You were hard pressed on every side when you came in, but when you pressed into his presence, everything just faded away. For many, autumn or fall is the most delightful of all seasons because its cool, invigorating days are warm enough to permit us to go about without extra heavy clothing. Autumn is refreshing and gives a free feeling. It's in autumn when you walk out of the door and the crisp air hits you in the face and just refreshes you. It's in the autumn season when we're not so weighted down. You ever been through those seasons in life where it seems like, I think I got a grip on all of this. I think I kind of prioritized and life is going kind of smooth now. You got a little break. But autumn is a transitional season. It's a season between summer and winter. And because it represents a sort of corridor through which we pass from one season to another, it possesses some of the elements of both. It's in the autumn season when change is taking place. It may not seem like it, but something really is happening in this transitional season. All of my troubles are not completely gone, but I can see the breaking of day. I don't have everything I desire, but I have hope. The trials that we're facing are recognized as a light thing. Our mindset in autumn is it'll be over soon. But winter has a reputation as a time of extreme cold. Winter is a season marked by extreme variability. Changes in weather happens quickly and drastically. In the winter, highs are higher than highs and lows are lower than lows in other seasons. This means that the winds are strong and they move more rapidly, therefore with greater frequency than in other times of the year. It's in the winter of my life when things hit me quickly. But they not only hit me quickly, they hit me hard. It's all of a sudden that something happens and my life changes in a moment. It's in winter when things almost seem to knock me off my feet. Everything appears to be dead or dying during the winter. But what is surprising about winter is that it's a time where plants and animals sleep. They're not dead. They're asleep. They're not dormant. They're resting. They're not at rest permanently, but they are resting through the cold and dry, windy season. There are times in our life when we have to rest in the Lord. There are times we have to trust what he's doing, even if we can't see it. We have to rest in the fact that I'm going to come out of this because he's promised that he's never going to leave me or forsake me. He's not going to leave me where I am. The promises that he has made shall come to pass. But the winter makes it hard. It's a hard season. It's hard to trust something that you can't see. But that's why faith calls us to walk not by what we see, but it causes us to walk by what we know about God. It was in a winter season where I grabbed hold of Romans 8:28. When nothing seemed to be working out for my good. The Bible says, and we know. It's not about what I feel, but it's about what I know. I know in my natural eyes, it doesn't look like God is doing anything. Sometimes I feel like God is not even hearing me. But and we know. And whatever he's doing in this season, it's going to work out for me. And you read in Proverbs, it talks about the ant and how the ant stores up for the winter and how it makes provision. See, when those good seasons hit us, we should be storing up some prayers. We normally operate a little differently. When everything is going good, that's when God can't find us. We get ready to go to bed. Now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. That's our prayer when everything is good. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for life, health, and strength. Amen. But it's in the seasons where stuff comes knocking on our door. Yeah. And we're the first one, Pastor, y'all not here for prayer yet? Yeah. I've been sitting out here 30 minutes. Nobody wants to see God before the actual time. Yeah. It's in those seasons where we take our Bible and we fall asleep on the word. The word is my pillow. We get real deep because we need God to do something, because trouble is all around us. But may I offer something to us today. Maybe we're going through so much because that's the only time God can communicate with us. It's the only time he sees our face. That's the only time he hears our voice. And because he's longing for that, he just uses what works for you. Uses what works for me. Oh, y'all get quiet. Hey. When winter hits, the ant has already made provision for the next season. When winter hits, you've already been with God. You've already stored up. So on the days your faith gets a little low, you're good. Because you got some stuff stored up. When I was growing up, they say, store up some prayer. Store up some stuff. Hey. When I was going through and they told us we'll never have a baby, the doctor said 90% you won't. They don't left God 10. I'm not going to use the word, but it's in the Bible. God only needs that 10. We fussing about the 90. God just wants a 10. He can work miracles with a 10. Ask me how I know. Ask me how I know. Because they said 90% I would never have a child. She's 4. And so let me help you on the days that my faith got low. I had sticky notes up. I wanted twin boys. Sis Nadia, don't laugh. You already know. Don't laugh. Don't laugh. I wanted twin boys. And those sticky notes, I still have them. I have them in a memory book so when she gets older, I can tell her the story. God, I thank you for my sons. They were in the bathroom. They were in my vehicle. They were in my checkbook. So when my faith was low, I could read, God, I thank you for my sons. Because when your faith is low, that's when you're vulnerable and the enemy can attack if you don't handle it rightly. If you don't handle it properly, he can really get you. But see, I had a cure for it. Even if I didn't feel like praying, all I had to do was read what he had promised. Because there are going to be times I didn't feel like praying. I didn't feel like worshiping. I didn't feel like anything. But because I knew I had to operate out of the spirit, I started reading. Lord, I thank you for my sons. Thank you for my sons. And 5.5 years, nothing. You talking about that oven closed. 5.5 years, nothing. But I never doubted God. Here I go telling my business. Church people told me to stop testifying that God was going to bless me with a child. Seasoned saints in the Lord. Been in the way a long time. In the way. And they said, well, maybe God is not going to bless you with it, so maybe you should stop telling them. And so I love the feature on the iPhone that you can block callers. And they never know they're blocked. It rings on their end. They get your voicemail. Hi, you've reached the voicemail of Renice. And say, girl, I called you. But like, for real, how did I miss your call? Never knew. Because in this season of your process, you need some oh no's in your life. Oh no, I remember the last time you took me down through there. Oh no. Remember yourself. Oh, no. When you walk in tall, dark, and handsome, smelling good. Oh, no. Now, singing that Usher song, caught up. Okay. Hearing our text this morning. The psalmist, I'm on stop. 10% came through. I'm gonna share. Came through complete preview. That means the birth canal was completely covered. A tumor that they did not know what size it was. I didn't even know I had the tumor until I went to the OBGYN for them to tell me that I was pregnant after somebody else had already told me I was pregnant, after I had already known I was pregnant. But let me help us out. Because of my age, I didn't receive any kind of prenatal care until I was in my second trimester. Because of my age, because they were trying to see if I was going to. And some people in this season, they're not providing you with the support and the covering that you need because they just trying to make sure you're going to hold on to it. Because you started late. According to their standards. But God says, I'm redeeming the time. No matter how late you started, what I said you're going to do, you're going to do it. And so they asked me, did I know I had a tumor? I said no. And they said, there's nothing I can do about it now but watch it. There are some tumors in our life that God is not doing anything about it. See, I try not to come down here because then I'm on. Yeah. That God is really not doing anything about. It's uncomfortable. It may, according to man's standards, eventually cause you some problems. But God said, I'm just watching it. I'm going to see how you're going to handle it. I'm going to see if you're going to do what you know to do before I jump in and rescue you. Because I'm trying to let you learn something through this. See, Jesus prayed in the book of John. He said, I'm not praying that, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not praying that God removes you from the trouble, that removes you from the enemy's reach, but I'm praying that you keep standing. I'm not going to take you out of the trouble, but I'm going to pray that you keep standing and keep standing tall in the midst of the trouble. So he's praying for you, but he's watching to see how you're going to handle it. And so tumor that when they finally got in, they realized it was almost the same size as her head. And let me help us out. When I got pregnant, I was a size 6. Small frame. Preview. Tumor. Baby. Confined space. And then once they got in there, they found out that my uterus was completely upside down. May I offer to you today what God is birthing through you? It doesn't matter the outward circumstances. It doesn't matter the pressure. It doesn't matter the confined space. But he's working it through you. And so the doctor had 2 surgeons because they had to do a C-section because my birth canal. God will do whatever he has to do to get what's in you out. He may have to cut you a little bit. Whew. You may have to go through some recovery. But may I help you out, Memphis style? You ain't lost nothing, man. In fact, it made you stronger. It made you wiser. It made you appreciate what you just birthed out, so you're going to protect it. Yeah. And so when they went in, the surgeon said, how'd that happen? The other surgeon said, I don't know. How did that happen? And because I'm wide awake, I'm like, how did what happen? Hawking like I ain't right here. He said, your uterus is completely upside down. This tumor, he went to explain and everything. And my cousin works in OBGYN, and he had her to come over and say, oh, thank you. She put herself on schedule for the delivery. She told the other nurse, I got it. I got this one. You need some folk that are going to put themselves on your schedule when you're coming out. Because sometimes you may have a skilled nurse, but not a sensitive nurse. Because when you're coming through the process, you need people with nice bedside manner that can tell you, I know it hurt, but if you just take another step. I know it's uncomfortable right now, but you can do it, baby. I know you think the bottom is going to fall out, but I promise you everything is intact if you can just follow the sound of my voice. And so he said, Miss Stevenson, what's your baby's name? I said, Taylor. He said, tell Taylor that I see she's a miracle baby. The doctor says she's a miracle baby. May I use you and you just for a second? I just need y'all to stand real close. Yes, but turn around. We in church. Turn around. I don't want nobody leaving. Okay, now back up. Okay, so this was Taylor. Between previa, upside down uterus, tumor, and my small frame. And the doctor said, you remember you would always fuss about Taylor being in one spot during the whole process? I said, yes. We did everything to get Taylor out of this spot, and I can touch it because every now and again, I still feel. He said, what Taylor did, now don't y'all move, what Taylor did, she got somewhere where she knew she would survive, and she stayed there. See, when stuff come at you and it feels like your back is against the wall, the Lord has just pushed you to a place where you can survive. Depression can't take you out. Anxiety can't take you out. Folk talking can't take you out. Sickness can't take you out because it got you covered. What was meant to kill you actually covered you. So I want to tell you this morning, don't give up in your valley. They walked off and left you, but it pushed you to a place where you would survive. They talked about you and scandalized your name, but it pushed you to a place where you would survive. I've been dealing with the thing all of my life. My mama said I was never gonna be anything. My daddy was never around to say anything, but it pushed me to a place where it caused me to survive. I'm gonna step a little lightly now. There were some things that happened to me growing up. The people that were supposed to keep me safe put me in harm's way. The people who were supposed to love me properly loved me improperly. And it caused me to live life at a slant. But even in a slant, God pushed you to a place where you would survive. Don't credit the process. It made you who you are today. Don't discredit the tears you cried. It caused you to trust God more. Don't discredit what you felt. Don't discredit what you thought. It pushed you to a place in God. the enemy meant for bad, God used it to push you through your valley. A lot of times we want to stop in our valley. We want to take up residence and take up shop. But I encourage us this morning, it's time for you to fill out a change of address form. Because today is your day of coming out. Today is your day of deliverance. Today is your day to get rid of all the baggage that you've been carrying. Yes, it hurt. Yes, it caused you heartache. Yes, it caused you despair. Yes, you lost some sleep. But tonight, today, if you will trust God enough to lift it off of you, I promise you he will. And how do I know? Because I suffered with depression. Years from childhood all the way through adulthood. And I was in church. But God set me free. And it's a process. Don't become discouraged when you leave the altar one time and it doesn't feel like it happened. Faith is not about feelings. Faith is about what you know. What do you know about God? You know he has the power to deliver? Do you know he has the power to heal? Then hold on to what you know. Because all I knew, all I knew, they said it would never happen. But God said it would. It took years, but I never let go of my faith. Even the Bible says faith without works is dead faith. When I really had my faith and what I did align, I started going to buy baby clothes. Because all this time, I believe God's going to do it. I believe God's, but I'm just saying, I believe. What am I doing? What am I doing to really prove to myself that I believe God? I started buying onesies and Pampers and church members at the time, because it ignited their faith. Members would come in. I bought you a little pack of Pampers. I'm believing God with you. Did people think I was crazy? Absolutely. And it was those same people that when it manifested, I told you, girl, I was praying for you. They still on Oh No in my phone. Girl, I've been counting you for 4 years. Really? I don't know what. I'm going to get my phone checked. But I say it. I do. I told you I laughed. But what are you doing? If you're battling with things in your mind, if you're battling with things, you're struggling with things in your life, what are you actively doing? Because as long as we sit there, nothing's happening. A lot of stuff God has for us, he's already promised it. He's really waiting on us. You know how you go to Kroger and Walmart, and I'm finished. You know how you go to Kroger and Walmart, and in order to get in the store, you have to be in a certain position? It's a square perimeter that if you're anywhere outside the perimeter, the door will not open. It's not until you get in the perimeter that you have access to everything in the store. A lot of us, what we've struggled with has us out of the perimeter. If we would just come back and get a little close to God, get in the perimeter, get in the vicinity, because he loves us so much. When you get in that perimeter, it opens. He's not withholding any good thing from us. Don't leave God because you battle with depression. Why would God put this on me? Don't leave God. I even challenge us, come ask God. Come ask him. Have a conversation with him. See what he tells you. See what he tells you. You've been carrying it a long time? Come on, see if he'll take it today. I promise you he will, if we'll let it go. A lot of times we come to the altar and we cast it and we get a good feeling, receive a good prayer, and before we leave, we're like, oh. Because truthfully, some of us don't know how to live, how to function without it. Because we've conformed our life to it. But may I offer whatever you leave with God, and in that open space, he's going to put something there. God is not going to leave you wide open. See, we're afraid of being vulnerable. There's too many feelings for me to handle. But when you pour out, when I empty out, God refills. And so if they ask y'all, what did I speak about? I don't know. Pick one. But I want to pray for those of us who have been battling with emotions, battling with thoughts in your valley experience. Those who have been questioning, God, why am I here? Why am I going through this? What's happening? Have you forgotten me? Do you hear me? I want to pray for us this morning. Because I want the Holy Ghost to begin to minister to us. And I want our faith to be fed. And as those are coming, two very specific in addition to. If you're dealing with depression, or if you're dealing with sickness, I want you to come. Two things you can't make me doubt God in. No matter how hard you try. I know God is a healer. And I know he's a deliverer. Because I've experienced it for myself. I've experienced it. And I can guarantee if you come today, you don't have to leave the same way. You do not have to leave the same way.
I let go and I let go.
And as you come to this altar, I want you to lift your hands. And I want you to begin to talk to God.
When I stop looking at
back then, I want you to let him know.
I let go.
Your request. I want you to make it known to him today.
Let God have his way.
Pour out your heart before him.
Soon as I stop worrying,
give him all of your cares. Give him all of your hurt.
I stop looking at back then.
While you're here on the altar,
let
give it to him.
And I let God. I let God have his way. Soon